Chapter 9. Molly Crane stood in her living room, having pulled back the draperies a couple inches after turning out the lights, unable to shake the feeling that she was being watched. She'd had the feeling all night. She was alone in the house. Michael was just a few days into the Great Pacific Race, which used to start in May but had been pushed back to July this year. Rowing from Monterey to Honolulu with a rich friend, something for which he'd been training for a year. 2,400 miles, no engines, no sails, 4 to a boat, 2 hours on and 2 hours off, for a month, or more. Like his version of the Boston Marathon, just across the Pacific. He'd been dreaming about a boat like this, this race, his whole life. But any kind of boat made Michael Crane happy. He'd been working on them since high school, the same as his father had. Molly knew Jesse's father had been an L.A. cop. Boys and their daddies, she thought. But being on a boat, being in the water, did make her husband happy. Happier than he is with me? Now, that was a damn good question, she thought. She knew they loved each other. That had never been in doubt from the time they started dating in high school, when both of them were 14. As far as Molly knew, and she was a cop after all, he had never cheated on her. To this day, she didn't completely understand her one and only indiscretion with a career criminal named Wilson Cromarty, known as Crow. Why she had wanted him the way she did. Wanted him, and needed him. She had told Jesse once that it had been a need for her at the time, the way his drinking had been. "But you stopped after one," Jesse said. "It wasn't easy, let me tell you," Molly said. "Booze is always around," Jesse said. "Maybe a good thing for you, Crow isn't." But she had given in to it, or let herself be carried along by it. She had cheated on Michael. The next day, she knew that Jesse knew before she told him. They knew things about each other that way. Things that Michael didn't know about her, and that Jen, Jesse's ex-wife, didn't know about Jesse. Maybe Sonny knew Jesse that way. Sonny's relationship with him, Molly had always thought, was closest to the one Molly had shared with him, almost from the day he'd showed up in paradise. Just without sex, not with Jesse. They'd never had any interest in making it physical, despite the jokes and comments and fake flirtation. Even with the times in the old days when they'd gotten drunk together, it was understood between them, no discussion necessary. When Jesse had most needed taking care of, when he'd tried to disappear into the bottle, Molly felt more as if she were taking care of a brother. If she loved Jesse, and she knew she did, it was like that. Molly Crane was a caregiver. Through and through. She always had been. A good Catholic girl, except when she'd been bad with boys in college, during the period when she and Michael decided not to be exclusive. But she did the most to take care of their marriage and their 4 daughters. The youngest was going off to college in the fall, University of New Haven. She was going to study criminology. The thought of it made Molly smile. Girls and their mommies. At the department, Molly didn't just take care of Jesse. She took care of Suit and everybody else. Managed the things that Jesse had no interest in managing, as if managing one more household, starting with the chief. Now she felt as if she were taking care of him as much as she ever had, whether he realized it or not, even though he had stopped drinking, at least for now. Day at a goddamn time, as he kept telling her. Molly knew enough about alcoholism. There had been enough of it in her own family, starting with her own father. She knew things were supposed to get better once they stopped drinking, even though her father never had. But these days, Jesse seemed as sad as he ever had, and as distant, even with a son in his life. She'd come into his office, and he'd be sitting behind his desk pounding that stupid ball into his mitt. He'd have that faraway look on his face, as if things were supposed to have turned out better for him, drunk or sober. At least today had been different. This victim was personal for him, dying, as he had, so soon after getting sober. She could see it in Jesse's eyes, mostly. Something flickering in there. A candle slowly coming to life. Like having a problem to solve, a killer to find, was a need with him, replacing his need for drink. The things you thought about when you were the one alone in the night. She stared harder at the street. Emma was spending a couple weeks with her best friend's family in Nantucket. Christ, Molly thought, what is it going to be like when she was off to college and Michael was away again at another race and the house was empty and quiet like this all the time? When she was officially, oh, kill me now for even using the expression, oh, fuck me, an empty nester. Not much scared Molly Crane. But that scared the holy hell out of her. She knew herself and her husband well enough by now to know how little care Michael required from her. So who was she going to take care of when she got home from the office at night? Maybe that was why she was the one feeling restless last night, even if she never would have admitted that to Annie. Even if she hadn't gone to the scupper looking to pick up a man the way Annie so clearly had. I'm bored and I'm horny, Annie had said after her second drink, or maybe it had been her third. Not a good mix, Molly had said. Speak for yourself, Annie had said. Then she had nearly been raped. It made Molly, the caregiver, feel guilty as sin afterward. Was guilt a sin? She couldn't remember whether the nuns had ever addressed that. Just the guilt part for doing dirty things and thinking dirty thoughts. I shouldn't have left her in that bar by herself. Maybe somebody had been watching her, them, at the scupper. She knew why Annie had been there, but why was I there, really? Molly prided herself on her honesty, starting with being honest about herself. Was she already starting to worry about what might happen to her marriage when it was the two of them alone in the house, when they were both in the house? She wasn't feeling what she'd been feeling with Crow that time. The ocean itself couldn't have stopped what happened between them just that one night, but one she remembered as vividly as she had it on tape. She'd been thinking about Crow lately. She was feeling restless these days, as if there were some kind of hole in her life, that even a job she loved, one that involved working with people she loved, starting with the chief, couldn't fill. Maybe she was the one who needed to start seeing Dix, Jesse's shrink. She knew that even with a son in his life now, and Sonny always on the periphery, the job was all Jesse really needed. He still didn't know how to be a dad to Cole. If anything, he acted more like an older brother or friend. Maybe they'd be drinking buddies if Jesse still drank. But Jesse knew how to be a cop. He knew how to be chief. Molly heard the way he talked about being a ballplayer. There was no way he could have been better at that than being a cop, even being a cop in a small town like theirs. It did everything except make Jesse happy. That was Molly's fantasy about Jesse. Not being in bed with him, just that he'd find some happiness, maybe peace along with it. Jen had never made him happy. At least not for very long. Diana never had. Molly still thought Sonny had come closest. But maybe that was because Jesse couldn't have her. At least not completely. At least not yet. And maybe not ever. Sonny's job being as important to her as Jesse's was to him. He was so fucking sad sometimes. Molly felt sad tonight. She kept looking out the window at the quiet cul-de-sac that had been part of her world for her entire marriage, a few blocks from the other quiet street on which she'd grown up. This was the house in which they raised their children. Now the three older daughters had left paradise for good. Molly was certain of that. Emma was on her way to college. Maybe, Molly thought, her unease tonight, the wariness she was feeling, was because of what had happened to Annie last night. And not just to Annie. To Jesse's acquaintance from the AA meeting. Usually, when one or more of the girls were in the house, she'd lock away her gun. The Glock 40, like the one Jesse carried. The gun he'd brought with him from Los Angeles. Tonight, she would keep the gun on her nightstand. She did not feel safe tonight. She put the living room lights back on as she headed upstairs for bed, having no idea how right she was. She was being watched, and wasn't the only one.